Welcome to this week's Vermont Conversation. I'm David Goodman. Today we're going to be talking about, in our first half part of the show, the outdoor recreation economy, the power of it, the size of it, and where it needs to go. And in our second half, we'll pick up on some breaking news here in Vermont. I'll be talking about paid family leave with some of the leaders of the effort to get paid family leave, which just was approved for the third time in the Vermont State House this morning. But first, let's turn to the outdoors. Yvon Chouinard, the founder of Patagonia, wrote in an editorial in the LA Times last month, "America's public lands perform best when protected for recreation. In fact, the business of outdoor recreation, which relies heavily on public lands, supports more jobs, 6.1 million, than oil, natural gas, and mining combined. Americans spend more on outdoor recreation annually, $646 billion, than on electronics, pharmaceuticals, or automobiles. Public lands power a sustainable homegrown economy. From 2008 to 2011, during the height of the recession, the outdoor industry grew 5% every year." Well, here to talk about the outdoor economy in Vermont, we're joined by four guests. Jessica Savage is the Recreation Program Manager at Vermont's Department of Forest, Parks, and Recreation. Elise Annis is the Vice President for Community Relations at the Vermont Land Trust. Drew Simmons is the founder and president of Pale Morning Media. And Amy Kelsey is the Executive Director of the Catamount Trail Association. I'm going to start first with Amy Kelsey. Amy, you were part of the group that came out with a report this fall on looking at the impact of the trails that lace Vermont. Tell us a little bit about what your findings were.
Sure. Thanks, David. This study was conducted by the Vermont Trails and Greenways Council, and that's a group that brings together several Vermont Trails organizations. It includes representatives from motorized and non-motorized groups, and groups that are working at different levels, town, regional, statewide. And this study is an assessment of the economic impact of four trail systems on the Vermont economy. So this is a really kind of small slice of what's out there. But the study looked at the trail systems maintained and managed by VASA, the Vermont ATV Sportsmen's Association, the Green Mountain Club, Kingdom Trails, and the Catamount Trail Association. And the members of the Trails and Greenways Council really wanted a better understanding and some metrics around the economic impact of Vermont trail systems. And the report helps support our advocacy work. It can inform policy decisions, and it helps support our fundraising efforts as well. So what we did was a real grassroots survey of participants from each group. The goal was to really be out on our trails, asking people for feedback on what they're spending when they come to Vermont or come to our trails. And we worked with consultants to develop and distribute these surveys to users of the four different trail systems during 2016. And then the consultants took that information to help us develop the report. And what the report told us, with these four trail systems alone, are generating about $30 million in economic impact in terms of, you know, restaurants, food, groceries, lodging, gas, trails, passes. About half of that is coming from out-of-state visitors and half from in-state youth. So it's great to have some data here. Some of the limitations of this survey is that, as I said, it measured just a small slice of a much larger pie. It was just four trail systems. It didn't include VAST, Vermont Snowmobile System. It didn't include our evolving rail trails. It didn't include mountain bike trails outside of the Kingdom Trails Network. And it also doesn't include other forms of outdoor recreation, boating, hunting, fishing, alpine skiing, wildlife viewing. But the study is a first step towards gaining a better understanding. The report has garnered a fair amount of our attention around the state, and we're hoping this starting point will lead to a more robust study going forward.
We're talking about, and you're explaining, this is only a slice of the much larger pie of the outdoor economy. Just these four trails are generating $30 million in revenue for this state. Who maintains this infrastructure?
Yeah, a lot of people play a part in maintaining this infrastructure, and of course our public land managers help quite a lot, but a fair amount of this is is volunteers, primarily small trails organizations, you know, small nonprofits that are leaning heavily on volunteers and in many instances private landowners who help make this possible. So it's, you know, a lot is leaning on the goodwill of both the volunteers that help make this happen and the landowners who make their space and their land available.
Is that a sustainable model where volunteers are, you know, there's so much reliance on them?
I hope it is. I think that's what makes our trails so great, is the investment of the people who use them in maintaining them. But I also think about this, and as we talk about the growth in our outdoor economy and recreation and the number of people using these trails and the changing climate, you know, I hope some of this work helps stimulate more people to get involved in whatever way works for them, whether they're out on the trails or they're investing in the organizations that make the trails possible.
Well, let's turn to Drew Simmons from Pale Morning Media. Drew, you've been involved in leading an alliance of outdoor industry folks. Say a little bit about what that alliance is and what you can say about other dimensions of the outdoor industry in Vermont.
Absolutely. You know, I think it was great that you started the conversation with Yvonne's letter in the LA Times. I think that his points about economic impact of outdoor recreation at a local level are really powerful and something that, you know, while it's kind of new news to Vermont and a lot of the country, it's a little bit more old news within something called the outdoor industry. And I think, you know, Vermont has many members of the outdoor industry, companies who either make or sell gear for outdoor recreation. You know, we're talking about companies like Burton and Orvis and Rome Snowboards and Mammut Apparel, Ibex, Darn Tough, Turtle Fur, JC's, Skeet. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And, you know, for the last year or so, this group of companies, along with myself, have been trying to advocate at the state level to help raise the profile for outdoor recreation in the state of Vermont. I think that, you know, the goal is really to alert Vermonters to the fact that we already have a great infrastructure. We have the talent and the temperament and the terrain and all these good things, but we need to recognize it as an economic driver more than just something you might do on the weekends. And, you know, there's just so many incredible stories ranging from, you know, these companies that we have to folks at Vermont Tech that are starting to teach kids how to press skis or show them how to, you know, make disc golf discs, to, you know, the, you know, hunters and snowmobilers that are trying to figure out better ways to make the most out of their day around the state. I think it's interesting, you know, last week actually, the Outdoor Industry Association released a new outdoor recreation economy report in which it actually says that it's an $887 billion economy nationwide, representing 7.6 million American jobs. Nationally, there's just no doubt that this is a huge factor in the economy, and even Representative Welch co-signed a bill last fall to do an outdoor recreation job count that will measure outdoor recreation as part of the GDP in the United States as well. But when it comes down to Vermont, you know, I think, you know, outdoor recreation means a lot of different things to a lot of different people, and in many cases it's, you know, it's our local trail systems as well as our local retailers. And I think that, you know, one thing that Vermont does still have is a really a vibrant culture of retailers that are the, you know, the entry point to a lot of our local outdoor recreation areas.
But in terms of the outdoor companies that are here, many people know that in the past Vermont was home to a number of the, you know, iconic ski brands like Rossignol, Dinastar, Carhu, that have now left Vermont. What is going on here with companies that are leaving, and maybe you can give a picture of who's leaving and who's coming?
That's a great question, and I think that it's a fact that nobody's running away from. I think the reality is, as much as you explained it, I mean, at one point there were more outdoor companies here, and in the past, actually, I've been working with companies as they made the decision to leave the state, you know, and a lot of that comes down to the shifting of manufacturing. You know, when when everything was made either domestically or in Europe, it made a lot of sense to have a New England or an East Coast based. But when container ships are coming into the West Coast, it kind of frees people to just set up shop in Portland, Oregon, for example, or Reno, Nevada. It just makes a little more sense if your warehouse is on that side of the country. You know, on the other hand, you know, I think the companies that we still have here, when you talk to them, it's really interesting. I mean, they're businesses, and, you know, all businesses are focused on the bottom line and, you know, want to get the most out of their investments. But at the same point, they really understand what makes Vermont a special place for them. And as part of this Vermont Outdoor Industry Coalition, we're trying to raise the profile that, you know, the things that a company like Mammut or Ibex loves about Vermont, which is, you know, access to natural infrastructure and, you know, environmental quality of our natural environment. Those are the same things that appeal to non-outdoor industry brands, and that could be, if we accentuate those and invest in those things, it could be very appealing for companies who want to move here or are looking for reasons to stay here.
Let's bring Elise Annis from the Vermont Land Trust into the conversation. Elise, you've been involved in efforts both big and small, and actually one of them involves Drew. One of them is just preserving local recreation. Most recently, we have an effort to preserve Mad River Park, which is the community soccer fields of the Mad River Valley. Talk about this kind of micro-scale recreation and what it means and why you're involved in trying to save it.
Absolutely. So, hi, David. Thanks so much for having me on this on the show and for talking about this important topic. For Vermont Land Trust, we often work with individuals, communities, who have a special place. They own land, and sometimes they're looking to sell land, and we look at what's the best outcome for that land and what are the values associated with that. So beyond the economy, I think a lot of communities consider not only how are we going to support a local economy, but what does community vitality look like? Mad River Valley is a great example where we have two projects right now. The Waitsfield Town Forest, which is known as the Scragg Town Forest, the Conservation Commission in Waitsfield said, look, it's critical that we have better access to this incredible place that's along the Northfield range. And so we're working with the community, the Conservation Commission, and then many, many donors and private individuals who are contributing and doing outreach. The Mad River Park is an interesting example because it's a case where we won't be using the conservation easement to protect that land, but it's really a transfer. It's the Kingsbury family has owned that land, and the Mad River Recreation, what number of towns make that up, who use those land for soccer and lacrosse and ultimate frisbee. And the community said, worked with the family, with the Vermont Land Trust, helping to facilitate that relationship, and they're willing to sell that land at a reduced price so folks can continue to use it. What's critical about a place like that, if we think about recreation, it's hard not to think about the large swaths of forest land that we have, ski areas, but it also, we have to think about how people like to recreate, whether it's a swimming hole, a sledding hill, a town forest, or for kids, it's, you know, it's the first place that they think about for land that they want to protect is their soccer field. So we are working closely with the rec department. We're getting very close. We'd love to see the transfer of that land happen from the Kingsbury family to the rec department in the next couple months. And we have, we're trying to raise the final dollars. And I hope folks who know about that land or who are finding out about it can look at our website, vlt.org, and make a contribution. But I think that it's important to think not only statewide, but also what does it mean locally? What's the most important place for a community to protect for their community economy and the vitality of their community?
Is the Mad River Park, the soccer fields there, and I've spent many beautiful fall afternoon alongside those fields cheering on local kids playing. Is it emblematic of a larger struggle, a statewide, to preserve local recreation fields that are under development, under threat from development?
Yeah, you know, it's a really good question. I think depending upon where you live and your community, you know, different places are critical to protect. So sometimes it's a farm where everybody buys their local food and they want to see, you know, a particular place protected. Sometimes, like I said, it's a sledding hill. You know, the challenge with recreation resources is that without making a major investment, there are only certain places in our hilly environment that we live on, where fields can be also flood prone. There are places that are critical for the use of a field, and there are a lot of investments that clubs have made, that communities have made, and so it's important to think about how do we protect those places, because they're not always easy to recreate.
Right. Well, we have in studio Jessica Savage, who's the Recreation Program Manager from the Department of Forest, Parks, and Recreation. Jessica, give us a picture of what you're seeing at the state level of changing use in our parks.
Sure. So our department manages the state park system as well as the state forests. It's about 350,000 acres between the two types of land that we manage. And through that, we have definitely seen an increase in use, just baseline use, both in state parks and in state forests. We have seen a 47% increase in park visitation over the last 10 years. There have been around 1 million visits total to our state parks last year and this year. So those numbers are huge. And then in places where we're monitoring use on trails, we're also seeing an increased use. A place like Mount Philo, for instance, we see about 100,000 people hiking on that one main trail there every year, which to compare to a place like Camel Sump, where we also do some monitoring, that's basically the same dispersed on all the trail systems on Camel Sump going to Mount Philo every year. So that's a huge amount of use that we're seeing in some of these parks and state forests. So it's really interesting to listen to the other guests, some of whom I know really well, and just to hear that there is this recognition of the power of outdoor recreation right now. And our department has really tried to take that philosophy on by increasing resources and providing resources to communities as well as to the public, either through providing new trails or increasing access to different state forests, acquiring land that have big recreational management challenges and opportunities on them. And so it really is an exciting moment, I would say, for outdoor recreation and a time for a lot of us to come together and figure out what the next steps are.
How is the state scaling up to meet this increased demand?
Well, a number of ways. One is we've really empowered our district staff to do the work that they've been doing already to provide recreational resources to the public. So we're seeing an increased demand for specialized use, and so how can we be consistently responsive to everybody? So we've come together as a management team and come up with ways to do that. We've also we're going to have two more district recreation staff hired on in the next couple of months, which is really exciting for, well, it's exciting for me personally and exciting for our department. They hired me in 2013, so that was new. And since then, I've really been impressed by the number of things that our staff have come together to make happen.
How has recreation been viewed in terms of its power for economic development, particularly in rural communities that may not have a lot of other resources? And one of the examples that stands out in my mind is Kingdom Trails, the skiing and mountain bike network in the Northeast Kingdom that really has gone from, you know, come out of the blue or out of the green to now being a huge economic driver in that region.
Sure. And that's just, you know, that's one example of many around the state. I think what I'm seeing from a statewide perspective, going to communities for different planning efforts, communities applying to us for grants, is definitely a recognition that investing in local recreation and proper planning for inviting more people to that really drives a lot of good local economic impact. I mean, I see it in Waterbury every day when I think about Perry Hill and how much we've really benefited from our partners there, taking good care of those trails, and it's world-class mountain biking. And you know, you come downtown Waterbury on a nice day on the weekend, and it's hopping, and businesses seem to be doing well. Same in, you know, Kingdom Trails and Burke, for sure. I was just up in Linden for a community visit talking about outdoor recreation and how to use that to drive development in the downtown area there as well. So people are really giving this a lot of thought. And one of the things our department is doing is working to provide planning resources for communities, because really you have to think about how to do this right and what works for your town. And, you know, some towns don't want to invite everybody to them, but some of them do. And how do you plan that out in a way that you're ready and prepared for what that looks like?
Amy Kelsey from the Catamount Trail, what do you see on the horizon? What's the next wave of outdoor recreation in Vermont that you're excited about?
Oh, that's a great question. And I think I'm going to take this one close to home, but for us here at the Catamount Trail Association, it's the evolution of more opportunities for backcountry skiing that are not only going along trails in the woods, but climbing up things to go down. It's a new way of managing our forests. It's been a really exciting time collaborating with public land managers who are adapting and trying new things and helping meet the needs and desires of the public. And I think more taking then that beyond the backcountry skiing, which is my wheelhouse, to other things is really, really exciting. Everything that Jessica is saying right now, I've been on the other side, of course, watching the Department of Forest, Parks, and Rec, as well as the Green Mountain National Forest, evolve and change with the times, whether it's the desire of the public and what they want to do on those lands, or, you know, climate and things like that. And we have a lot of personnel now in positions that are enthusiastic about change and helping make it happen and willing to try new things. And so I think there's a lot of potential there, whether it's, you know, for a variety of different activities on our public lands and on our private lands that are open for public use.
Okay, well, we are going to take a break for the news, continue this conversation on the other side of the news, and we'll also be hearing some about a different topic, paid family leave as well. So you're listening to the Vermont Conversation, and we'll be back after the news. Welcome back to the Vermont Conversation. I'm David Goodman. We're continuing our conversation about the outdoor industry, the outdoor economy here in Vermont. In just a few moments, we're also going to switch over and talk about paid family leave, which is has just been voted on and approved for the third time in the Vermont State House today. Jessica Savage, the Recreation Program Manager from the Department of Forests, Parks, and Recreation, is here with us in studio. Jessica, give us a picture. You know, a lot of people know about the trails and the recreation in their own towns, but towns all around the state are really expanding in ways they have not before into opening up trail systems, opening up recreation opportunities. Can you give us kind of a quick aerial view of what's springing up around the state?
Sure. So I think as a large land management agency, we see some of the same issues that towns are starting to see, which is either a demand for increasing access from the public or people showing up to places that they weren't used to having people show up to, like their town forests. And certainly some communities, like communities in the Mad River Valley, you know, Scutney and Brownsville, Hardwick, looking to really expand outdoor recreation as part of a healthy community as well as a healthy local economy. And you know, we hear those stories, and we also hear that there's some challenges there, especially when it comes to planning. And so I've partnered with the Vermont Urban and Community Forestry Division of our department, and we have a a planning opportunity available for town forests to try to meet some of these challenges and come up with toolkits for other communities who might be similarly interested in addressing either an opportunity, creating an opportunity, or addressing some challenges. They usually come at the same time.
And these grants are available and coming up when?
Sure. So it's actually not grants, but we'll give you a planning team addressed specifically to your problem. And you can find it at vtcommunityforestry.org, and they're due on June 1st.
Okay.
Yeah.
Elise Annis, can you say a little bit about how the land trust is responding to this increased demand for recreation?
Absolutely. So I think what's important to recognize, by the way, that often with the parcels, any land that's protected, that we think about, there are multiple values associated with it. So, a community might not just be thinking about, where they want to recreate, but also what's important, in terms of, flood resilience or in terms of, wildlife. So it's important for us to think about, any piece of land has multiple values associated with it. So often when we work with individuals or a community, we try to incorporate that and think about that in what we want to protect. And so we try to be, extremely responsive. I think what's important to recognize is we're very lucky in Vermont because we have, as Amy pointed out, individuals who like to volunteer and to make sure that the place they care about, which might be in their backyard or might be further away, is protected or that they can steward that. But it's also important to know that these things don't just happen. And if we don't have the forethought, if we don't think about what we need to protect now, that land might be used for development, and we do struggle with forest fragmentation in Vermont, and the integrity of our forests might no longer be there. So we're working, VLT is working both at the policy level with partners to think about what can we create, what policies can we create at the state level to help protect forest land, for instance, or to support farmland protection. And then at the very local level, we're working with, conservation commission select boards to think about if a land is on the market and they realize it's perfect for a town forest and they don't take that opportunity to protect it, it may never come again. So we are trying to work on what are the tools that have to, to be put in place. And it often is finances. But it's other things too. It's community engagement. It's volunteerism. So again, we're lucky to have all of these organizations, whether it's the Kingdom Trails, Catamount Trail Association, or Mad River Recreation Group, and then of course the state, which is an incredible partner on many of the projects we do. But I would urge people not to sit still and think that we've done it all, because there are lots of places that you may go to and think it's going to be around forever. But if we don't think about protecting it, it may not be there.
Well, saying more about that, are we losing access to places that were once valuable recreation areas?
I think what happens, often there becomes a crisis. There can become a crisis point if we think about the Bolton Valley backcountry project with which both Catamount Trail Association was involved with, Green Mountain Club was involved with too. In that case, the land went on the market. There was the potential for a sale to a private buyer who may not have wanted to keep that land open and available for people. So the community didn't let that happen. I mean, it was really an outcry from those who use that land, who said, hold on a second, what do we do? And then it took a couple of years for us to think about how to protect it. So there are crisis points that happen. There's connectivity possibilities. So if we think about lands that we want to see connected, or the Chittenden County Uplands, which is, a large swath of land, many parcels, and we think about when's the next time something will be at risk, we've got to act quickly, and the state and the community needs to be ready to act quickly. So I guess I would say, David, to answer your question, there's often a moment, a critical moment, and I think we have to be prepared for it. But I wouldn't say that there's an overall trend in losing recreation lands, but there is an overall trend in forest fragmentation, which means land that's already in private ownership that gets sold and increasingly subdivided and fragmented. And I think that is a concern for Vermont and something we should be thinking about.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you, Elise Annis, Vice President for Community Relations at the Vermont Land Trust, and Jessica Savage, the Recreation Program Manager for the Department of Forest, Parks, and Rec. And earlier, we had Drew Simmons from Pale Morning Media and Amy Kelsey from the Catamount Trail joining us. Thanks to all of you for filling us in on what's going on with Vermont's outdoor recreation economy.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you, David.